I want just to continue our thoughts about how wonderful it is to have the Holy Spirit with us. And the main theme is the Spirit giving us the Word of God. None of us ought to be in any doubt whatever about our Bibles. They're perfectly, perfectly fitted for the use of any man, woman, boy, or child at any time in their lives. And we ought not to entertain any doubt about it. Now, every teacher knows that you can't teach everything about a particular aspect. You can't teach it all at once. It would be too much to take in, or the pupils wouldn't quite be ready for that particular point. And it is a major teaching mistake to try and say everything about a subject to any one set of pupils, for they'll then remember nothing. We had a lovely time with the young people last night, and I was dealing with a particular thing, and I was saying to myself all the time, "Don't go too deep, otherwise they'll lose it all." And this is what the Lord Jesus is saying here to the disciples. He has many things to say. He's going to say them through the Holy Spirit. But he's many things to say, and he is about to be crucified, but they're not ready. They're so full of other things. And sometimes we get full of other things and are not ready to hear the truths of God. We sympathize greatly with those disciples, for they could not bear these things now because of their sorrow at losing the Saviour with whom they had walked continually for 3 years and listening to him. And doubtless they felt that things could never be the same again. But they can be the same again and better when the Lord directs his Holy Spirit into our lives. We do not need a personal face-to-face tutor in spiritual things. We simply welcome the Holy Spirit into our hearts as we study the scriptures. However little, however much, a difficult passage, an easy passage, things that will spur us on now, things that we lay up in store, as Mary did, for the future. So the Lord Jesus says here to his disciples, "I have yet, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now." Now, any other teacher might be frustrated. Teacher's about to leave, or the children are about to leave, or they're going to move up into another class and not your class. There were so many things you wanted to tell them, but you're not going to have access to them anymore. But it was not so with Christ. He was going to have access to them. Access in a new and living way. Access to every disciple at once. "I have yet many things to say to you, but ye cannot bear them now. However, howbeit, there's a way out of this, a marvelous way out of this. When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth." The Saviour here describes the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, as the Spirit of truth. He is defined by truth. He is defined by being genuine. Now, this was Jesus' position. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he came and said to Pilate, "For this cause am I come, that I might bear witness to the truth, absolute truth." So the Holy Spirit is on an identical wavelength, I shouldn't put it like that really, but is identical in all ways with the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He is his Spirit. And therefore he will begin where Jesus left off. He will continue his ministry when he is sent at Pentecost to all of those disciples and all who should follow hereafter. Now, it is the Spirit who gives us the Bible. And therefore, the Bible is utterly true. The Bible is truthful. The Bible does speak, if need be, of the failings of men, David in particular, you might remember. But the Holy Spirit carries on where Jesus left off, in the pursuit of truth, in the declaration of truth, in the fullness of truth. And it's wonderful to think that the Spirit of the Holy, the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ is not only with us, but in us. And that's what happened at Pentecost, that the Holy Spirit was sent into the lives of each one of the Lord's disciples. What began with the first disciples then has continued ever since in the life of every believer. The Spirit of truth is come. We are lovers of the truth. And many philosophers down the years and many others have sought to know the truth. But if they do not seek it from the Bible, from the Holy Spirit, they will not attain to it because of the nature of our fallen world and the activity of Satan. But when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. As we ourselves can bear more things, to learn more things, as we understand more deeply than we ever did before, the Holy Spirit will continue to guide us, and he will guide us into all truth. Everything he says and does is true and genuine. All that he gives us to start with, carrying on from Jesus, is true. But that truth will continue throughout our lives, throughout our growing in the Christian service. He will guide us into all truth. Do we need truth as to what we should do, how we should live, the truth about the history past, history to come? What truth are we seeking? We may go before him and search the scriptures and learn what that truth is. So these are wonderful words commending the Spirit. The Lord Jesus says, "I have many things to say," and he will say them to you because you can't bear it now. When he's come, he will guide you into all truth. He'll never stop doing it. And you will know more and more and more, particularly about heavenly things. Of course, the better we know the scriptures, the more we'll know the historical part of the Old Testament. And we will know of things to come to history, or will be. But the essential thing is that he will guide us into spiritual truth. Now, there is no understanding of where we are in world history without putting Christ at the centre. We all see that the world is getting out of control, that there are multiple leaders who don't know how to lead. There are those who have jobs to do in any country but can't do them because of the global effect, and they are not globally in charge. And the standards, because we have neglected Christ, the standards go downhill enormously. And if we do not understand that the Lord Jesus Christ is at the centre of history, all things are for him, by him, to him. All things are his. And in knowing him and knowing what the scriptures say, we will keep close to what is true. And many of our fears will be dispelled. We do get afraid of the changing standards of the world, of the behaviour of the young in our midst, whatever it is. But it's at those times that we need to shout to the Lord, hallelujah, because thou art in control. Every aspect of life is under thy hand, for good or for bad, whether we see it or whether we don't. For judgment upon those who are evil, and for salvation to those who are called. So the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. What he teaches through the scriptures is truth. And the reason for this, he will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. That is to say, he is totally united with the Father and the Son. Whatever he declares is what the Father wants, is what the Son wants. He doesn't say anything differently at all because he is the Saviour's Spirit of truth. He doesn't speak on his own initiative, but what he hears from the Father and the Son, that he will speak. And he will show you things to come. Now, when we think of what's going on here, two of those disciples will be gospel writers. And they probably will be involved in instructing the other gospel writers, Mark and Luke, who weren't present now. So in a very major way, this is a promise that the Spirit will guide the writing of the four gospels. Speaking to Matthew, and he's speaking to John. And Peter was behind Mark, as many think, speaking to Peter and so on. But he will show things to come. In other words, they will faithfully record under the guidance of Spirit in the same way as the Old Testament, because they are going to be biblical authors. They will write faithfully the things of the life of the Lord Jesus which they experience. John says there are many things that could be written. So they are also guided by the Spirit as to what they put in and what they leave out. In some cases, many things aren't recorded. And in some cases, one or two Gospels have it and another one or two Gospels don't have something. But it's all under the leading of the Spirit. But what he goes on to say is, you see, he will show you things to come. Now, Jesus began to show things to come when he spoke of the destruction of Jerusalem, when he spoke of the scattering of the Lord's people after that destruction, and when he spoke of his return and the sun and the moon and the stars being folded up like a scroll. But to John in particular, when he writes the book of Revelation, it will be that the Holy Spirit is teaching things to come, the things that are future. The Greek says things that are coming. So they're certain in that sense. And what he writes in the book of Revelation, John doesn't get them from himself. He gets it from the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit gets him from the Father and the Son. And the Holy Spirit, being the Holy Spirit and knowing the Spirit of God, is able to describe him in those wonderful first and fourth chapters of Revelation. So the Holy Spirit will show things to come. But there's more to it than that. He is, of course, speaking to all the disciples who are yet to come, ourselves included, down through our generation and any generations that may follow. You can't miss the fact that he's saying to the disciples he'll cause them to recall all the necessary things for Scripture. But at the same time, he will teach us from the Scriptures. He will make known to us all the truth, and he will make known to us all the things that have been written down, the Spirit of truth causing these Gospels to be written. And we ourselves will read those things to come, and we will understand them, and we will know that they are true. So here's this wonderful Holy Spirit who himself shall speak things to come so that we may know what's going to happen. And the next little bit is also very wonderful. He shall glorify me. I remember being taught, in as soon as I became a Christian, it was preached from the pulpit frequently, but that the Holy Spirit never drew attention to himself. It was always his ministry to glorify Christ, to point men and women and boys and girls to Christ, to convict those who were to be saved through Jesus Christ, to prepare them for being saved, and then to direct them, and then to teach them from the Scriptures concerning Christ, and all that the Scriptures centered on Christ, all that is involved in that. So the Holy Spirit glorifies Christ. We're quite safe with him. We're not deserting Christ. When we cleave to the Holy Spirit, when we ask for his guidance, when we ask for his help, when we pray that those whom we love, and others too, that they may be saved. This is the Spirit's work, to glorify Christ. And when he's doing that, he is at his, and I can't really say at his best, but he's doing the work which he loves to do. And when we pray that he should reveal that work in us or answer our prayers, he is never happier. We are in a great, great situation with the Spirit of truth, the Comforter sent by the Lord Jesus Christ. He shall glorify me, says the Lord Jesus, for he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. He will make believers love Christ more and more because he will declare to them the things that the Saviour thinks. We have it in the New Testament, the things that the Saviour plans, but all of these things he will declare to us. And now if you'll turn to me with me to the one of the other readings we have in 2 Peter. Now Peter would have heard these words of the Lord Jesus Christ, even as he heard the voice from heaven. And Peter opens book opens the passage of 2 Peter 1 and of verse 16, that the scripture is not cunningly devised fables. These are not things that are devilish to divert men from the truth. They're not cunningly devised, doing things that people don't realize that are happening to them. And they are not fables, they're truth. We see the truth because the Lord Jesus believed that what happened to Lot was true. Remember Lot's wife, believed that the creation record was true. It is all absolutely true. For the scriptures are not cunningly devised fables, men sometimes say to us. And it was not that that we were thinking of when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We saw his majesty. We heard that wonderful, wonderful voice from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. We heard that voice. This voice which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. And then Peter surprisingly perhaps changes tack. He says we have a firmer word, if you like. It says here, a more sure word. Now, there is a sense in which nothing can be more sure than God speaking from heaven to his Son. There is nothing that can be more sure than the record of it. But what Peter is saying is there would be great danger to us if we only went by what Jesus said and what the Father said about Jesus. We would neglect the Old Testament. But it's not only that. It's that we mustn't put our trust in voices, but in only those words that are written in Scripture, that the Holy Spirit, leaning upon the Father and the Son, which the Holy Spirit has authorized. That's firmer. One person will say one thing, one person will say another, but the Scriptures are firmer in the sense that we may throw our absolute trust on them. Nothing wrong with the Lord speaking from him. Absolutely true and absolutely wonderful, and it is contained in the scripture. But the principle on which we discover the word of God is not to listen to voices. For those who listened to voices when Paul was converted didn't get very much. But what we have, firmer than anything, firmer the word of scripture, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, and we do well to take heed to it until we reach glory, until in this dark place where we live, the day dawn and we come to glory. But it's in the last verse that he says, you see, that the writers of scripture were moved by the Holy Spirit. Verse 20. Knowing this first, so that the most fundamental thing of the more sure word of prophecy is that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. It doesn't originate with man, and neither can any man understand it unless the Holy Spirit of God opens his eyes. He opens the eyes of the simplest, the least educated. He opens the eyes of whom he will. You think of the martyrs, what they said before their accusers. And they spoke wonderful things. The prophecy came to us in old time, not by the will of man, but holy men of God, men who were made holy by being moved by the Holy Ghost, which means being controlled. When they spoke, the most wonderful thing, they spoke in their own style. You've only got to read Matthew and sorry, read Isaiah and then read Jonah, any book you like, to see the difference. They wrote in their own style, but the Holy Spirit moved them to express down to the last word exactly what he wanted them to know. And it's a wonderful thing. The whole Bible is interesting, written in the same style all the way through. We come across different approaches, things that make us smile, things that we think are very difficult and obscure. Different men have different approaches, but in every case, what they say. And in the cases of some prophets, Obadiah, for example, we only have one chapter. From all his life, all he has is that one chapter to which the Holy Spirit guided him. So what we're saying is that we have in John 16 the promise of the Lord to send the Spirit to those gospel writers who would write scripture every bit as faithfully as the Old Testament. And we who read it would have the same help to understand it. Now Peter here takes a look at the Old Testament. And he says, of course, the prophecy or the word came not in old times. Doesn't just refer to the prophets, but to the law and the prophet, the whole scriptures. The prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Ghost is always a translation of exactly the same word as if Holy Spirit was written. So it is this Holy Spirit of truth which God has given to his disciples, all of them down the years to us, who wrote not only the New Testament, but who caused the Old Testament to be written. You can say, although men wrote it, that really it is the work of God, the Holy Spirit. So the prophecy, the old time, everything, of course, was future in the time from the beginning of Scripture. The prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but God indicted it. The Holy Spirit brought it to pass. It was the moving of the Holy Spirit in the lives of men that caused it to be written. Now, he is the Spirit of truth. And what they wrote remains true. So what the Holy Spirit caused to be written, both in Old and New Testaments, we can garner, we can read, we can have the same truth and an understanding of that truth and an application of that truth to our own day, our lives, our times. So we have a firmer word of God in turning to the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation. And then there's one more very brief passage that I'd like us just to look at, and it's in Mark 13. It's also in Matthew, but Mark puts it very succinctly. Mark 13 and verse 11. But again, I'll read from verse 9. Words of the Lord Jesus towards the end, when his disciples asked about the temple being overthrown and so on. Verse 9 of Mark 13. Take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils, and in the synagogues ye shall be beaten. And ye shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony unto them. And the gospel must first be published among all nations. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what you shall speak, neither do ye premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye. For it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. Now, when we speak, it does not come from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit may be within us and he may be guiding us, but we can't say of our speech at large that it's from the Holy Ghost. But here in a particular situation, the Lord Jesus provides the Spirit of truth to those who are not gospel writers to meet a particular situation, perhaps of martyrdom or other things. Now, I mentioned the martyrs, but you will be aware from what you've read, both of the martyrs in Ipswich, and Miss Sanford and others, that they were able to defeat any theological arguments of the most learned Roman Catholic theologian, because they possessed the truth, because they believed the Bible. But at that moment, the Lord gave them precisely the words that they were to say, which would confute these men of learning and of fame. It is a promise. Now, it isn't a promise to a minister to be lazy. It isn't a promise that the Holy Spirit will give him the words to speak when he gets up to speak if he hasn't prepared. But what Jesus does say is that he doesn't want us to prepare. He will give us immediately and exactly the words if we are brought before councils, perhaps with a view to death, as generations to come might well be. Whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye. For it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. Now, under the pressure of that hour, I'm sure that those who speak won't go wrong. But you remember that Moses, who was the mildest of men, was told what to say to the rock, and he actually introduced some words of his own. And for that he was punished by not being allowed to enter the promised land. So whatsoever should be given you in that hour, that speak ye, but nothing else. For it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. So the Spirit of truth works in the most certain and sure way through the scriptures from beginning to end. But he does, in this particular situation of which Jesus speaks, he will speak directly, influencing those who are witnessing before those who are arraigning them to death, whatever it be. So I just wanted, as we were thinking about the Holy Spirit, and we were thinking about what his ministry is to us, I thought it would be nice just to give one or two aspects of his ministry concerning the word. And as we read, only he knows what is in God. Only the Spirit of God knows concerning the deep things of God. And if we want to know the deep things of God, then we must turn ourselves utterly to the things which he has caused to be written in the Holy Scriptures. Well, may the Lord bless us, and may the Lord help us in these things.